It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Mark Yeagy. Welcome to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. Glad you're here today and glad my guest today has finally made it on. We had some technical issues, but, you know, we worked through those. So funny how we can put a man on the moon, but we can't figure out these little technology things sometimes, and they kind of throw us for a loop. But anyway, today we have the managing director of Hilton Family Office, and he's the CEO of Hilton Tax and Wealth Advisors. He's a financial powerhouse with nearly 40 years of experience helping businesses, business owners, executives, and high net worth individuals legally/tax grow their wealth and build lasting legacies. He's the co-founder of Hilton Tax and Wealth Advisors and Bradley J. Hilton, the grandson of legendary hotelier Conrad Hilton. He's the best-selling author of Hilton Wealth, How to Invest Like an American Dynasty, revealing the exact wealth-building strategies used in the Hilton family and Fortune 500 firms. Featured in the New York Times, Kipling News, and Fox News, he's here to show you how to think. His name is Mark Miller. Mark, welcome to the show. How are you?
Well, thanks, Mark, and I sure appreciate that great introduction.
Well, I'm glad we get to chit-chat a little bit today and maybe shed some light on some investing secrets from somebody like you, who's probably been around the block a little bit. And why don't you tell us how you got into this business? Because you're certainly in a different business than your grandfather was in. And maybe you can tell us a little bit how the evolution happened for you.
Absolutely. Well, just so you know, I'm not a Hilton, but okay. My partner, Brad Hilton.
That's true. You're a Miller.
I'm a Miller. Brad Hilton, who is the grandson of Conrad Hilton, is my main partner. And I go back to, you know, coming out of college and very much my father was actually a financial consultant and a banker. And I kind of followed in his footsteps. And I got right out of college and went to work for that small little company called American Express and did outstandingly well there, cut my teeth kind of in the brokerage business. But then over time, I started to get wealthier and wealthier clients and just kind of got into the space in the 90s. I wrote some nationally published books, a couple best-selling books on personal finance, and then started my own firm. And really what I do, my main expertise has been is business financial consulting. And then just about 10, 12 years ago, I met members of the Hilton family. I made them money. They made me money. And about 5 years ago, they came to me and specifically Brad came to me and said, hey, can you run the Hilton family office? And then as a spinoff from that, and that's kind of why I'm here today, Brad and I are promoting a company called Hilton Tax and Wealth Advisors, which is a spinoff of the family office, which is basically bringing kind of these advanced, the wealthiest of the wealthiest strategies more down to Main Street. So that puts us to today, and we're just both very passionate about teaching people how to do things much better than they do, say, on the retail side, like the Fidelities, the Vanguards, the Schwabs, and Edward Jones, all those of the world, and teach them that there is a better way to invest.
Well, at the risk, now that I've botched the introduction and called you the grandson, let me see if I could save this.
I'm fine to take that moniker. I'll take that moniker any day.
Let's jump right in, because I know that the people in the audience want to know, look, am I getting the straight shot when I go to, one of these firms that you just mentioned, you know, the mainstream retail firms, or are they just sticking me into a bunch of average mutual funds, picking up a wrap fee, just getting paid, you know, their 12B1s, whatever these fees are, and getting you an average return at your expense? We can certainly talk about that, because you obviously know where I land on that, but we can also talk about what is the differentiator that you have versus some of these other retail firms?
Well, that's an excellent point and a good question. First of all, I'm going to say, yes, you're getting what you're supposed to get. But then I'm also going to say, no, you're not getting what you're supposed to get. Okay. Why I say yes is because in their system, they're doing exactly what the system is designed to do. And that is take a lot of fees, put all the volatility and risk on you, and really make the average retail investor pay for that. That's why when you look at study after study, the average retail investor only makes a couple percent per year. Primarily, it's because of that. And then also the risk aspect of it that really honestly, most retail investors don't understand and can't withstand. And so they buy and sell at the wrong times. And that's hence that's makes it even worse. That makes their average investment performance even worse. But what most retail investors don't know is because they're caught in that space because they don't have access to other things. The wealthiest of the wealthy, the smart money that's on the institutional side has access to investments that you pay very little fees for, generally design portfolios that have very little volatility, but then they make the same returns, if not better. And it's not about... it's about the system that you're in. It's not that that broker is taking advantage of you, and I'm not here to trash the brokerage industry. It's just a different model. It's a different paradigm. It's how the smart money works one way and the retail money works a whole nother way.
But they wouldn't have designed the system to make you take all the risk while they get all the fees, would they?
Well, that's a definitely loaded question because... They did. When you go back a many moon ago, back into the 1930s, 40s, 50s, by the way, a lot of what controls the securities markets now were laws that were made in the 1930s, believe it or not. They haven't changed a whole lot because they've worked for the combination of the system, that system, and legislators and the government entities that were, they all scratch each other's backs. Yeah. So here's a great example. Let me just talk to you about mutual funds, because that's where most of the retail money goes to. So mutual funds, we see, and the average investor sees the fees that they charge of say, oh, they're charging me 1% or 1.5%. Actually, with you look at internal and external fees, the average mutual fund makes anywhere from 3 to 4% per year. And clients have no idea about that. And guess what? It's all baked in and is all
right off the top.
Yes. And it's all totally legal. It's all in the legal system, in the structure, in the securities world. So people don't know that. And now it doesn't mean they can't make returns. They'll still make returns. It's just that's being scraped off the top. And then I tell people, most people will say to me, oh, that can't be. Well, how do you think that, for instance, Fidelity has built those massive skyscrapers on Wall Street? Do you think they've done that off of 0.5% or 1% per year? No. That's literally impossible.
You're either listening to my stuff or I've like channeled your stuff, because I say that exact same thing. You don't think those buildings get built by themselves. They get built on the customer's money.
Absolutely. And not to say that there's money, not to say that on the institutional or the smart money side, that there's not money to be made there too, but they do it more on volume and charge less in individual fees to those institutional players. Often, like when we design portfolios, our portfolios generally maximum 0.25% per year, and a true 0.25% per year, not hidden fees and all of that. The reason is, it's not too good to be true. It's just that on the institutional or the smart money side, they don't tolerate fees. So if a famous story, Warren Buffett came in years ago with Berkshire Hathaway to this big hotshot firm that was making 25% per year for their clients in Wall Street. And they came in and did a presentation. Well, these young kids got up that were like 20 years old, 30 years old, and start pitching to the Berkshire Hathaway. And Warren Buffett was in the room. And he sat there and he just listened to him drone on and on and on about the great returns they were going to make Berkshire Hathaway, and they're going to make them all this money and all that. He let them do their thing. And then he said, young man, I've learned what you're going to make us in returns. How are you going to protect our money? Silence. Okay. Yeah. There was no protection. And they got up and walked out of the room.
Yeah.
Because it's like, first and foremost, the best investors in the world want to find out how their money is protected. They just assume, especially in that space, the returns are going to be there. But how are you going to protect me? And that's something, that's the big distinction between retail investing and smart money investing. Smart money, wealthy investors think of safety and security first. Retail investors are funneled into this system where it's all about how much money can you make me? Show me what your returns are. So anyway.
So take us through your process, if you would. You get somebody that comes in. Now let's delineate something here, because I believe that there's a sweet spot, and maybe you can confirm or deny this, but I believe there's a sweet spot between somebody that's maybe at a $5 to $25 million level and somebody that's below, say, 5 million. And then the third thing is somebody above 25 million. I think from what I've studied, those are three different mentalities, three different strategies. Am I close?
Right. Very good. And that's great.
Hey, it's Mark Yeager here to tell you about our Cash Flow Machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a Mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more.
The distinction we make is usually, and actually I did a podcast, I have a podcast we just launched called True Wealth, Hilton True Wealth. And we did a podcast on that, the four levels of wealth. And you've almost hit on it exactly. When you're going from that 0 to 1 million or to 5 million, it tends to be trying to find the investments and really struggling. And that usually is a struggle to get there. Then you jump into a category where you're still looking for returns, but then we start looking at some more legacy planning. That's when, and a lot of people come to us when they have 10, 12 million, they've been playing in the retail world, they've been chasing the investments, and often they'll come to us. We have a client that we're talking to now that has 181 different investments. Okay, so he's at about a $18, $20 million level. So we're teaching him and we're showing him there needs to be a transition made to where we start to have a legacy portfolio. That doesn't mean we're all focused on our heirs and all of that, but it's a different mentality than us just doing nothing but focusing on getting the best returns.
Sure. Okay?
You can get there. You could get there, but what we try to do too is we try to bring some of these advanced strategies and that legacy strategy a little more down to Main Street, where people, if they have 500,000, 1 million, 5 million, whatever, that we can immediately start installing that then. And ironically, that can get them to that $10, $15 million level so much quicker, so much more efficiently. And it's just a different way of thinking, paradigm shift, and in a whole different level of investing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like defense first, and then let's look at the returns. Now, when you, and they probably kind of go hand in hand in a lot of respects, but when you start to talk about putting somebody's portfolio together, so like, you know, that journey where somebody comes into you, and you're now, let's say somebody walks in with, you know, $5 million, to invest, they're fed up with their broker and they want to bring in Mark Miller. What do you do?
So generally what we do is we do first kind of a risk wealth analysis in general. What have they done so far? We do a deep dive. Nowadays, we have lots of AI involved and kind of give them their level. And most of the time, I'd say nine out of 10 times when people come to us, they are taking much more risk than they had any idea they were taking, especially right now, because people have doubled, tripled down, especially with their brokers on putting money in the markets. And, you know, eventually you and I both know this. Eventually it's going to burst. It's not going to go up forever. Okay. So we do an analysis, and oftentimes we'll find people think, even if they say, hey, we've got 50% of your money in bonds and 50% in stocks and all of this, that they have exposure that when the next market downturn happens, that they can be, you know, lose 40, 50% of their portfolio, and they have no clue. They don't know that they're on a scale of 1 to 100. They don't know that they're at a 70 or 80% level of risk. They think they're at a 40 or a 50. So that's the first thing we do with them. And then that's usually pretty eye-opening, because we do such a deep dive on that. We're really able to give them a real good structure. And then we're also able to say, hey, when the next downturn happens, if it happens in these three different ways, here's what you can expect to happen. Here's what will happen. And then they're usually taken aback by that. Then what we'll do is we'll start educating them about, well, you know, this is how the wealthy invest, and you're not generally investing that way. You're investing like the typical retail investor that has no access to be able to understand these higher level strategies. And even though people will come to us with, you know, sometimes tens of millions of dollars and haven't made that transition
yet. What is one of those higher level strategies as an example? And I know everybody's different, but let's kind of striate it a little bit and see.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm listening, I'm trying to sit in the chair of my listener and watcher. I'm sitting here going, well, wait a minute. I guess you want me to be in stocks, or you want me to do real estate. What is it that's different that high net worth investors?
Well, let me just put it this way. And in our book, Hilton Wealth, which, by the way, anybody can access that really easily at our website, HiltonWealth.com. We'll send it out to you complimentary. Cool. We talk about a bucket strategy. Now, by the way, that's a retail thing. You may have heard the bucket strategies before.
Sure.
We've done that on purpose because it helps people understand really well. It's a retail structure, but we've put the wealthiest of the wealthy, how the wealthy invest, into that structure. So you've got the four buckets. The first bucket are a myriad investments that we have available that are 100% guarantee and may make us 5% per year over time. So we're not trying to, you know, hit it out of the ballpark there. Then we'll have a bucket that's more of an income-based structure bucket that we might be able to make 6, 7, 8% in. Then we have a managed money bucket, which is what most people are more used to, but it's institutionally managed. And let me give you a distinction on that. That's the type of managed money and very diversified and well-allocated portfolios that the richest of the richest use. It's not the retail, quote, managed money like a mutual fund would do, or a series of like ETFs combined or something. And that's the third bucket. And so we're taking some risk there to try to get a little better returns. And then finally, we move into, which everybody wants to talk about this, but this is the smallest percentage of your portfolio, is private equity alternative offerings that we might have. And that might be in real estate. That might be as investing alongside a principal in a company, an actual company. That might be another alternative, might be maybe we're doing a tax strategy alternative in there that's actually an investment, an alternative investment too. So there's a whole bunch of, and in each one of those buckets, we have many, many different types of investments that we can fit clients into depending on you know, what they're most comfortable with. And then combined, we're going to have less fees, less volatility, and we're going to get better returns than you can ever do with a straight retail portfolio.
Got it. All right. So that there is a difference because most people don't have access to private equity, for example.
That's true.
You know, private offerings, things like that. Well, that's great. Now, what should an investor look out for?
Well, if we're talking, and we're probably talking to a lot of people that are still on the retail side, there's things that you just don't know. We already talked about like the mutual fund fees and all of that. And fees are a big thing. And by the way, one of the things that retail investors don't know is how fees can massively eat into your portfolio long term. So that 1%, 2%, 3% you're paying can ultimately over a 20 or 25 year period mean hundreds of thousands of dollars that you've paid in fees that could have been gone to you. Okay. So that's a big thing. The other thing too is I don't think that people truly understand. They listen to their broker, they listen to, and again, by the way, I was in this world and I was taught this. You tell everybody, hey, this is long term, don't worry about the downturns. If things don't go well, we'll just sit it out and wait. They don't understand what the wealthiest understand is that one down year, severely down year, can take you 3 or 4 years to get back. So you sit around for 3 or 4 years and you're making nothing. So you're in a hole for that period of time. And then you're like, phew, I'm finally back. 2008 was a perfect example. Took to 2012 for people to finally get back and then start making money again. Okay. But that's not the most efficient way to do it. The better way to do that, the better way to do it is maybe in years that aren't so good, instead of being down 30 or 40%, you're down maybe 4%, 5, 6, 7%. And then boom, you're right back at it again. When you do that and have more efficient portfolios that aren't so on a roller coaster, so much on a roller coaster, you get better returns long term because where you're capturing longer periods of times where you're making returns. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's how the wealthy can eke out another 1%, 2%, maybe 3% per year over the average retail investor.
Right. Got it.
And do it consistently over time, not just when the markets are rocking, like right now, you know.
Well, people don't realize that the compound interest works both ways, right? So when you have time on your side and you're compounding on the way up, it goes up fast. But if it's getting eroded, it goes down quickly. And then on top of it, if you have a bad year, you got a lot of rebuilding to do. That's a tough thing to do.
That's probably the biggest thing is people just don't understand that. They don't understand that how detrimental it is to your wealth to be sitting around for years waiting to recoup those losses to get back to even. Yeah. And that, so it's a bad, bad strategy. It always has been a bad retail strategy. Took me a lot of years to figure that out. Because I was taught, like other brokers are taught, to tell everybody, hey, don't worry about it. It'll come back. You're a long-term investor, that type of thing.
So. I think a lot of brokers get trained in babysitting, and that's their job, is you babysit the customer when the market goes down, tell them everything's going to be fine in the long run. And it is in the long run if you don't count inflation in there and the time that you lost. So good stuff, good stuff. Who's your ideal client? And then maybe I'll ask you a couple questions about how people can get a hold of you.
So our ideal client, so by the way, we didn't talk really about tax planning here.
Oh yeah.
But you know, on the tax planning side, folks that generally do 300,000 combined income and above, we help with lots of different types of tax strategies and can cut their taxes in half. Actually, I have a book called The Tax-Free Business Owner where most people we work with, we can zero out their taxes in a number, just a few years generally. And then on the wealth side, actually we've kind of structured it to, if you got 500,000 or more in investable assets, then we can help you and we can show you how to build a Hilton True Wealth portfolio that will stand the test of time a heck of a lot better than most of the retail portfolios that people are in.
So if I had to boil down everything that we just talked about, it sounds like a lot of planning.
Yes. Right? Holistic planning.
Holistic planning.
How the wealthiest of the wealthiest do it.
Yeah. Not just throwing you into a strategy to, you know, that has the highest performing mutual fund from the last year. But boy, let's sit down. Let's talk about planning. Let's talk about how it all works in your whole life. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And the tax side is not left out of it.
We've talked a lot about investing, but it's beyond that.
Yeah.
It's, you know, have an incredible tax strategy, which, by the way, the wealthiest of the wealthiest, that's how they compound their wealth massively. When you don't have to pay 30 or 40% in taxes, can you imagine how that would help you in your portfolio? And then legacy planning, estate planning, risk mitigation is huge. And all of that is part of a holistic plan that in our opinion, has to happen to help you build your wealth most efficiently.
Here's a softball question for you, Mark. Why is it that Warren Buffett pays less in taxes than his secretary? He's famously quoted for saying that. Why is that?
That is it's so interesting you say that. And I'll go back to, and I always tell the story. I don't know, you and I are a little bit older, so I don't know if you remember you're much younger than me. Both Warren Buffett and Bill Gates were on the front cover of Time magazine a number of years ago. And basically the headline was kind of insinuating, we're giving all our money away. Okay.
Yeah.
So as far as the general public knew, wow, Warren and Bill, they're so great. They're giving all of their money away. But have you noticed they've never fell off the list of the
That's
top
true.
10 wealthiest people in the world for years and years and years? Well, what they did was, that's a tax related question. They took all their money and they put it in their private foundations. When they put it in the private foundations, and by the way, I'm not going to take away from the fact they're doing incredible things from a charitable standpoint, unbelievable things, but they saved so much in taxes that it benefited the rest of their portfolio. So they've been able to stay on the list the whole time. Okay. So did they do something illegal? Did they do something bad and mean and they're taking away money from the little guy? No, they did everything that was legal, ethical, and morally right. That's all in the codes. That the thing is, the wealthy people have had access to those things.
Yeah.
And too much exclusive access for too long. And that's what we're really trying to do. And Brad Hilton and I's passion is to try to get to the masses these strategies and give people access to that they have not been able to have, like the Warren Buffetts of the world.
Where can people get a hold of you and find out a bit more about what you do? You mentioned a book. You mentioned a couple books, actually. Tell us where we can find those.
Well, first of all, you can find us. We've just launched the Hilton True Wealth podcast. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform that you go to. And that is a YouTube show that we're doing. And I've got great information on there. All the social medias, we're on the social medias. But easiest way is just go to our website, which is HiltonWealth.com, HiltonWealth.com. You'll learn much more about us. And one of the things that we'll do is just order one of our books. We'll send it out complimentary to you. If you're interested in building wealth, if you're interested in tax planning, you can order our books and we'll send them out to you right away to learn more about it.
I love it. Well, I'm going to summarize this by saying thanks for appearing here and basically telling us how important it is to plan, because if you fail to plan, then you basically plan to fail. And so often people are sucked into not planning because it's easier to be excited about how much you're going to make, and playing defense is a pretty important part of a full investment strategy, right?
You bet.
Mark Miller, thank you so much for being a part of the Wealth Architect podcast. Thank you, listeners and viewers, for being here as well. And remember what I always say, never give up your power and your health, your wealth, or your time. I'll see you next time on the Wealth Architect podcast.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.